Chapter 3. Sailing to Nantucket. That night, I asked Queequeg to tell me about himself. At first, I found his English hard to understand, but I slowly became used to it, so now I can tell his story. Queequeg came from Kokovoko, an island in the South Seas. His father was a king, and among his mother's family, there were many brave fighters. From when he was a young boy, he had always wanted to see the Christian world. So when a ship from Sag Harbor near New York stopped there, he asked to join the crew, but the captain would not take him. However, Queequeg was determined. When the ship had left the island, he quickly rowed out to it in a small boat. He stood up, kicked his boat away, and climbed up onto the deck. The captain admired his courage and agreed to let him stay. Queequeg worked among the ordinary sailors and learned to be a harpooner. By living on the ship and visiting whaling ports, he also learned that there were bad and good Christians, just as there were bad and good people on Kokovoko. So he decided to live in the Christian world, but to keep the religion of his island. I asked Queequeg whether he was planning to go back to Kokovoko, and he answered, no, not yet, but he would return there in the future. When I heard this, I asked him what his plans were now, and he told me that he was going to go to sea again on a whaling ship. I told him that I wanted to become a whaler too, and I intended to sail out of Nantucket. At once, he decided to go with me to Nantucket and to share my life on the same voyage. I was delighted to hear this because not only did I like this man, but also he was an experienced harpooner. He would be very useful to me, an experienced sailor who, however, knew nothing about whaling. When his story ended and his pipe had gone out, Queequeg once again pressed his forehead against mine. Then, once again, I slept quietly and well. Next morning, Monday, we packed our possessions. When we left the inn, Peter Coffin was still amused by the way he had frightened me with his stories about Queequeg. I gave the horrible dried head to a local shopkeeper, and we went to find the moss. At last, having paid for our journey to Nantucket, we went on board the Moss, carrying our things. We left New Bedford with its rows of houses and ice-covered trees, and sailed down the river between the whaling ships. Some were silent, but from others came the noise of workmen preparing them to set sail again. This is because, as soon as one dangerous voyage has ended, another one must start, and another, forever and ever. This shows how life on Earth is endless and awful. Once we were out in the open sea, strong winds started to throw the moss around. With the wind in her sails and the rigging tight, the little ship leaned to the side, and the two masts appeared to bend. I thought how much more I prefer to be on the sea than on land. And I could tell that Queequeg felt the same. We were so happy as we stood near the dancing bow of the ship that for a while we did not notice the other passengers staring at us. They could not believe that a white man and a black man could be friends. How strange. We are all just men, though our skins are different colors, I thought. Queequeg turned around and saw a young man making rude faces at him behind his back. Dropping his harpoon, Queequeg grabbed him and threw him high up into the air. The young man fell back onto the deck with a crash, while Queequeg turned away, lit his tomahawk pipe, and passed it to me. When he had recovered a bit, the young man ran away, shouting in a high little voice,
"Captain! Captain! Here's the devil on this ship!"
"You!" cried the captain, rushing toward Queequeg. "What do you think you're doing? Don't you know that you might have killed the man?"
"Kill?" said Queequeg. "He too small. Queequeg not kill small fish. Queequeg kill big whales.
Look here, shouted the captain. I'll kill you, you cannibal, if you try that kind of thing again. I'm going to keep my eye on you.
But just then, it was time for the captain to keep his eye on something else. Because of the strength of the wind, the bottom of the ship's biggest sail tore away from the enormous wooden boom. While the sail was blowing loosely in the wind, the boom flew from right to left and back again across the whole of the ship. The young man who Queequeg had thrown in the air was knocked into the sea. The people on deck rushed toward the bow of the ship to get out of the way of the crashing boom. It seemed that no one could do anything to stop the boom. But Queequeg went down onto his knees and crawled along the deck underneath it as it blew backward and forward. Then he got hold of a rope, tied one end to the side of the ship, and threw the other over the boom as it went over his head. As it went over his head the next time, he pulled very hard on the end of the rope, and the boom stopped moving. Then, as other people were making the ship safe again, Queequeg ran to the side of the ship, pulling off his shirt, and jumped into the sea. For 3 minutes or more, we could see him swimming, moving his long, strong arms through the freezing water. I could not see the young man anywhere. Suddenly, Queequeg pulled himself up out of the water, looked around him, then dove down and disappeared. A few moments later, he reappeared, one arm pulling strongly through the water and the other holding the young man. When we got them both back onto the deck, everyone said what a fine man Queequeg was, and the captain apologized. From then on, I stayed as close to Queequeg as I could, until poor Queequeg took his last dive. Nothing more happened on the journey to Nantucket, and we arrived there safely. Nantucket. Take out your map and look at it. See where this lonely island is, far out in the Atlantic Ocean. It's a flat island of sand, sand, and more sand. You would have to look very hard to find any trees or grass. People live so close to the ocean that they find seashells attached to their chairs and tables, as if the pieces of furniture were rocks. Nantucket is nothing like other parts of America.